Space. The final frontier. These are the continuing voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Your ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone.
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to the WGTD Radio Theater. And this is our 13th season, and this is show number 107, and I'm your host and co-executive producer, Steve Brown. This is March 25th, 2017, or Stardate, 94832.18. As our program began this morning, you heard the voice of my late cousin, Leonard Nimoy, who played Commander Spock on the original Star Trek television series, six of the original Star Trek movies, and two of the newer Star Trek motion pictures. Leonard passed away on February 27th of 2015, and our radio theater broadcast today is dedicated to Leonard Nimoy. May his memory always live long and prosper. Our program today is Star Trek to the Third Power. This will be a mashup of three Star Trek television series, the original Star Trek, Star Trek The Next Generation, and Star Trek Voyager, produced originally by Desilu Productions and then by Paramount Network Television. So by featuring these three successful television series, yes, that means we will have to deal with three starship captains, James T. Kirk, Jean-Luc Picard, and Catherine Janeway, and all of their officers and crew members. Before I turn over the captain's chair to our Starfleet captains, let me remind you that support for the 10-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha Law Firm of Aaliyah, Dumay, and McTernan, and also the Brown Osha Performing Arts Foundation, located in the village of Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. And now, join us for Star Trek to the Third Power.
Good morning. My name is James T. Kirk, captain of the Starship Enterprise, NCC-1701. The ship was first launched on Earth date 2245. And just in case you were wondering, our Enterprise ship is a Constitution class, and it's powered by a dilithium-focused matter-antimatter reaction chamber. A bit later, I'm sure our chief engineer, Montgomery Scott, we call him Scotty, will probably bore the heck out of you with all kinds of specifics about this fine ship of ours. I must tell you this, as my good friends out in sunny California would never forgive me, if I didn't tell you, the ship's components were built at the Starfleet Division of the San Francisco Navy Yards and assembled in orbit.
Captain's log, stardate 45047.2. The Enterprise is en route to the uninhabited Aladrel system. Its location is near the territory occupied by an enigmatic race known as the Children of Tama. I do apologize. That was so unlike me. My name is Jean-Luc Picard, and I'm the captain of the Starship Enterprise D, which is a galaxy-class ship, and it is the flagship of Starfleet. Our designation is NCC-1701-D. Our normal crew complement is 1,012 officers, enlisted men, and scientists.
It is quite an honor to be here with two most distinguished Starfleet captains. As I look around here on the bridge of the Enterprise, I sense there might be a problem.
And what might that be, Captain Janeway?
There's only one captain's chair, and all three of us hold the rank as captain, at least at this moment in time.
Oh, but Catherine, this is the Enterprise and not Voyager.
Very true, Jean-Luc. You know, I was wondering if the computer system on board this fine vessel has been updated.
Catherine, everything should be shipshape. What seems to be the problem?
The last time I checked with one of these computers, it gave me some incomplete information.
About what?
Not what. Whom? Actually, about me.
Let's check this out. Computer, information on Janeway, Catherine, Captain, USS Voyager.
Working. Janeway, Catherine, 2371.6. Given command of USS Voyager, new Intrepid class starship. Ship disappeared in Badlands during mission to pursue Maquis ship.
Computer, leadership qualities and attributes for Janeway Catherine.
From biopsychological profile, report of Starfleet Medical Office. Subject, Janeway Catherine. Janeway is a tough captain who is not afraid to take chances. While her intelligence, thoughtfulness, dedication, and diplomacy have earned her respect and recognition as one of the best in Starfleet, her talents in engineering and science allow her hands-on expertise, if necessary. As such, she has shown tendency to defy Starfleet protocol against beam down of commanding officers into unsecured away team missions.
Interesting report.
Oh, quite interesting indeed. Especially the part about the beaming down of commanding officers into unsecured areas.
I find that report about Captain Janeway to be fascinating.
Spock, I was not expecting you to arrive until 1330 hours today.
Captain, my guest lecturing at Starfleet Academy actually ended earlier than planned, and...
And you just couldn't stay away from this wonderful gathering of distinguished Starfleet captains, am I right?
Actually, Captain, I had a last-minute meeting with Admiral Paris at Starfleet.
Yes, you mean the father of one of my lieutenants, Tom Paris, correct?
That is correct, Captain.
What did the Admiral want?
He was telling me about his recent visit to the Pathfinder labs for the testing of Operation Watson, which allowed for 11 minutes of daily contact with Voyager.
Commander Spock, we don't want to go over our skis on this story right now, do we?
If you mean to get too far ahead of ourselves on all these stories taking place this morning, you are correct, Captain Picard.
Jean-Luc, you were talking earlier about Stardate 45047.2, when your Enterprise was en route to the uninhabited Eladrell system.
Yes, Jim, I was talking about that. Why do you ask?
Then I assume, Jean-Luc, we will all hear more about Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra, and perhaps more than we heard originally when you first spoke it.
There is that possibility, Jim.
I thought as much. Kirk here.
Captain, this is Scotty. We have a problem.
When do we not have a problem, Scotty? Spock and I will beam aboard momentarily.
Jim, sounds like trouble. I'm sure we'll all have a chance to chat again very soon.
Jim, safe travels to you and Mr. Spock and your entire crew.
Thanks, Jean-Luc. Catherine?
Enterprise Medical Log, Stardate 5027.3. Dr. Leonard McCoy recording. I'm concerned about Captain Kirk. He shows indications of increasing tension and emotional stress. He was away meeting with other Starfleet captains. I had to ask Chief Engineer Scott to say that we were having a problem here on the Enterprise. I lied. For the record, I apologize. I never took the I will never lie to my captain oath.
Dr. McCoy, Captain Kirk is aboard and in his briefing room. Shall I follow through on your orders now?
Yes. Engage plan JTK-2233.
Dr. McCoy, I'm almost afraid to ask, but what exactly is plan JTK-2233?
Check off. You Russians always ask such detailed questions, but I will tell you anyway.
Thank you, Doctor.
Plan JTK-2233 translates into James Tiberius Kirk.
And 2233?
Why, that's the year of his birth, man! Don't you know anything about our captain?
Dr. McCoy, Chekhov, where is Captain Kirk?
Spock, you are always the impatient child in all of our adventures. Is that a Vulcan attribute that you keep in your treasure chest of fascinating and indeed?
What's your short-term prognosis for the captain?
How did you know Jim has a medical problem?
The medical logs. You never close out your programs when you are on your medical logs database. And all I had to do was ask the computer.
Chekhov, you must not repeat anything that you hear. Is that clear? I do know how you Russian graduates of Starfleet Academy enjoy all that cloak and dagger work.
I am as silent as a cathedral mouse at a Russian Orthodox Easter service, although we actually call the service a mystery and the sacrifice of the liturgy a spiritual and bloodless sacrifice.
Well, Chekhov, I'm afraid we might be seeing some real mysteries here if I don't get James T. Kirk in this sick bay within the next 10 minutes.
I understand, Doctor. I will go to the bridge myself.
Just make sure you don't get dragged into another one of Jim's adventures where we might all be in danger. Again.
Yes, Doctor. No adventures.
Mr. Chekhov, nice of you to return to duty.
Yes, Captain.
You were about to tell me something before you disappeared.
I have completed the assignment you asked of me, Captain. A theoretical incursion into...
Yes, Mr. Chekhov, I can read. And as usual, your theoretical evaluations do not tally with mine. Return to your duty, and I'll let you know when your work is satisfactory.
Yes, Captain. Right away.
Mr. Spock, full sensor scan of the region, please.
I did give a full report.
Yes, Mr. Spock. That was the past. I'm concerned with the present. Or is it becoming too much for this crew to present me current information?
No, sir. Compliance presents no problem.
Then, Mr. Spock, comply.
Sensor scan to 1/2 parsec. Negative, Captain.
Very well.
Enterprise medical log, stardate 5027.4. I can find no reason for the captain's behavior, except possibly that we've been on patrol too long without relief and diversion. He has resisted all of my attempts to run a psychological profile on him.
Kirk here.
Scotty here, Captain.
Yes, Scotty. What is it now?
Captain, can we talk in a more private area of the ship?
The briefing room. Meet me in the briefing room, Mr. Scott.
Aye, Captain.
The design of the ship is the same. Mr. Spock, you said you had a theory on why your sensors didn't pick up the new ships until they were upon us.
I believe the Romulans have developed a cloaking device which renders our tracking sensors useless.
If so, Romulans could attack in Federation territory before we knew they were there, before a vessel or planet could get even close to beginning to get their defenses up.
Oh, if that car's right enough.
Well, that's a brilliant observation, Mr. Scott. Do you have any other helpful opinions?
We've not got many choices.
We've got 3. We can fight and be destroyed, or we can destroy the Enterprise ourselves and keep her from the Romulans. Or we can surrender. Opinions, gentlemen?
If the Enterprise is taken by Romulans, they'll know everything there's to know about a starship.
If we had not crossed the neutral zone on your order, you would not now need our opinions to support a decision which should never have had to be made.
Jim, you ordered us? You had no authority.
Dismissed, Doctor.
Jim!
I said dismissed.
Bridge to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
The Romulan vessel is signaling again, sir.
Put them on screen.
Aye, aye, sir.
My commander wishes to speak with you, Captain Kirk.
Put him on screen.
The commander wishes to see you and your first officer aboard this vessel. It is felt this matter requires discussion.
Why should we walk right into your hands?
2 of my officers will beam aboard your vessel as exchange hostages while you are here.
What guarantee do we have they'll beam aboard our ship once we're on yours?
Granted, we do not easily trust each other, Captain, but you are the ones who violated our territory. Should it not be we who distrust your motives? However, we agree to simultaneous exchange.
Give us your transporter coordinates. We're beaming aboard. One final order, Mr. Scott. If we do not return, the Enterprise must not be taken. If the Romulans attempt it, you're to fight, and if necessary, destroy yourselves. Is that clear?
Aye, perfectly clear, Captain.
Energize.
Jean-Luc, that was quite a story about Captain Kirk.
Did you like it, Beverly?
So much so that everyone is cleared out of the mess hall. Except Guinan, who is still standing over there behind the bar.
Captain, Doctor, are the 2 of you all right?
I believe so, Guinan.
Why do you ask?
I just had a very strange feeling. Almost like the ship started to quiver. Just a bit.
It must have been a change in our warp drive torque. It happens most nights at about this time.
I didn't feel anything.
Well, neither did I. But to be on the safe side, let me check. Computer, warp drive check 23,1800 hours. Analyze.
Working. Analysis complete. Analysis complete.
Computer, explain.
One final order, Mr. Scott. If we do not return, the Enterprise must not be taken. If the Romulans attempt it, you are to fight. And if necessary, destroy yourselves. Is that clear?
Jean-Luc, what's that all about?
I have absolutely no idea. But here's what I do know. I better get back to the bridge.
Captain, something tells me that is a very good idea.
Oh, thank you, Guinan. Beverly, I may have to come by sickbay to get something for this crushing headache I have.
Jean-Luc, I'll be standing by with an analgesic hypospray to give you.
Oh, good. I'll need it.
Captain, is everything all right?
Commander Riker, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure.
What do you mean, Captain?
Number one, have we been having any problems with our computer systems?
Well, as a matter of fact, the Instant Crusher was just running some tangential diagnostics on our entire computer array.
Hmm. Engine Crusher, report.
Sir.
Wesley, before you tell me what you've learned, why did you decide to run those diagnostics on our full computer array?
Captain, last night in my quarters, I received a computer alert. A series of very strange messages that came through my multiphasic audio console.
Interesting. Go on.
Well, Captain, I heard your voice and some other voices I've never heard before.
Excuse me, Captain.
Yes, Data. What is it?
Sir, I also heard voices through several of my internal transceivers last evening. I do not know why, nor do I know from where they came.
Captain, I have some of the audio messages with your voice saved here in my console. Shall I play it for you?
Yes.
Yes, Captain.
Captain's log, stardate 41463.9. While mapping the Pleiades cluster, we've been asked by the Federation to visit a group terraforming Vandero 3. Communications have been erratic, and there is some concern about their welfare.
Pleiades. The name Pleiades comes from ancient Greek. It probably derives from plein, which translates as to sail. Because of the cluster's importance in delimiting the sailing season in the Mediterranean Sea, the season of navigation began with their heliacal rising.
Data, we did not ask you about cluster, so why are you pontificating about it?
I do not know, Commander Riker.
Captain, my sensors are picking up more information about the Pleiades.
Geordi, what's the status?
Pleiades is also known as M45, or the Seven Sisters, and it is in a region of space with young planets. It's in a cluster of about 400 stars in a 25 light-year radius, some 415 light-years from Earth.
As Commander Spock would say, this is all quite fascinating. But on God's green earth, why are we discussing this cluster now?
Captain, something must be wrong with my visor. I thought I saw a visual on the screen behind you about the Pleiades.
Captain, we're picking up four unidentified objects heading our way with unknown... No, wait, it looks like a Borg. Or possibly a Romulan warbird.
Lieutenant Worf, which is it?
I'm not sure, sir. The signatures are constantly changing.
Lieutenant Worf, has anything changed with your senses?
No, sir. Everything is back to normal.
Captain, as your first officer, I suggest we consider dropping out of this high orbit and out of warp drive.
Number one, I agree. Mr. LaForge, make it so.
Aye, aye, Captain. Entering standard orbit now. Impulse drive.
Data, any life forms on the planet's surface?
Captain, my sensors are detecting some very unusual readings.
How so, Data?
Sensors indicate thousands of life forms of various kinds, all living under the surface of the planet.
It takes very special people to live in such desolation.
Captain, I sense something very different.
What do you mean, Counselor Troy?
These inhabitants are very special, almost like a people of very high intelligence. And something else.
Special powers?
Oh, I'm not sure, Captain, but I do sense they are people of vision.
Counselor, do you sense that they can see into the future?
Will, no. I sense they are visionaries who don't see this planet as it is, but as it will be.
I've always wanted to see terraforming in operation.
Oh, number one, I haven't heard anyone mention that word terraforming in years. Not since my days at Starfleet Academy. In a class with Admiral Spock.
Captain, what was it like being in a class taught by the Admiral?
Wesley, it was quite remarkable. His wealth of knowledge was quite exceptional. It only seems like yesterday when Admiral Spock was saying...
Terraforming is the process whereby a hostile environment is altered in order to be suitable for human life. This could involve modifying the temperature, atmosphere, surface topography, ecology, or all of these elements, in order to make a planet or moon more Earth-like. In closing, let me remind you of what the famed astronomer Carl Sagan said eons ago, in the year 1961, when he proposed using planetary engineering techniques to transform the planet Venus. That is all for today. Class dismissed.
Captain, we are not at low enough orbit to attempt communications with the inhabitants under the surface of the planet.
Thank you, Mr. LaForge. Hailing frequencies, Mr. LaForge.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Vandero 3 Base. This is Captain Picard of the Starship Enterprise.
No malfunctioning equipment on either side, sir. They are receiving us.
Vandero 3 Base. This is the Enterprise. Come in, please. Over.
Still no response, sir.
We are still sensing life forms, sir.
Vandero 3 Base. Do you copy?
Vandero Base to Enterprise. Yes, Captain. I'm Director Monrar. I'm sorry about the delay, but we weren't expecting visitors.
Terraform Command has asked us to see how you were getting along.
We were a little behind, but we're back on schedule. I'd like to hope we're allowed to maintain that schedule.
Captain, I sense that we alarm her for some reason.
Your staff is all well, I presume, Director?
Understandably tired. We're working very hard, Captain.
Is there anything we can do to help? You and your staff are welcome aboard for a change of scene. Some rest.
We have some holodecks which you might enjoy.
Monrar, that was my first officer, William Riker, with a wonderful suggestion.
No disrespect, sir, but we cannot afford the time.
Channel closed. Signal on hold from planet.
Her fear is escalating, Captain. She is quite agitated.
If you will excuse me, Captain Picard, I really must get back to work. I do have an important council meeting to attend.
I sense deliberate concealment, sir.
Of what?
I don't know, but it's intense. Very intense, Captain.
Channel open. Director Monrar, we've heard of your remarkable achievements in terraforming. My crew would very much appreciate looking around.
This is not really the best time. And we are at a very critical phase just now. And I do have an important council meeting coming up.
We would require no special attention.
I'm trying not to be rude, sir, but this is really very inconvenient.
Counselor?
She is concealing something. It's more than just being too busy. Your announcement about coming down has sent her almost to a point of panic.
Well, whether she wants us or not... Channel open. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Director Monrar, unless you're absolutely refusing permission for us to land at your station, prepare to receive our away team.
As you wish, Captain Picard.
Counselor, perhaps you'd better come along as well.
Yes, Captain.
Captain, shouldn't Worf go with us as well?
Good idea, number one.
Lieutenant Worf, prepare to join us.
Yes, sir.
Things might become very unpredictable. Stay on your toes, number one. Data, you have the con while we're on the planet.
Yes, Captain. We shall keep in constant communications with you, and if necessary, we will beam all of you out immediately.
Good idea, Data. Captain's log, stardate 41465.7. Our landing party has just beamed down to Vandero. Captain, special notation. We are not on the surface, but we are in entrance tunnel 3.6.7. All inhabitants on this planet live below the surface. My senses detect electromagnetic interference beacons sending out signals in alternating sequences, perhaps to disrupt any outgoing communications. I will instruct Lieutenant Worf to have Data test a beam out of an object to make sure we can escape this planet if an emergency arises. End Captain's log.
Welcome to Vandero 3. This is your V3 computer welcoming module. Please, I want you to remember it as it is now. In a couple of decades, you won't recognize it. Please identify yourselves.
Commander William Riker, USS Enterprise. This is Counselor Troy, Lieutenant Worf, Director of Security, and this is Geordi LaForge, our engineer.
We don't get many visitors. It's quite delightful to have you here. My sensors are recording amazement and some hesitancy on the part of Counselor Troy.
We weren't sure how we'd be received. Director Monroar was less than enthusiastic about our interest.
I should apologize for her. We're at a critical phase. Usually she's quite charming.
We'll try to stay out of the way. By the way, I must say this. For a computer, you are not what I usually experience in terms of a normal conversation like this. But I'm digressing. We've never seen a terraforming station, and we appreciate the opportunity. By the way, do you have a name?
Yes, of course. We all have names. I am Alexa 6.75. How much do you know about the process?
In theories, reports, but nothing firsthand.
That is correct, Mr. LaForge. Let me show you what we do. Newcomers find this quite interesting and very fascinating.
Will, the other two are secretive, but she is as open as she appears.
What we're doing is so exciting and so inspiring. We take a lifeless planet and little by little transform it into an M-class environment, capable of supporting life. Terraforming makes you feel a little godlike.
You make it sound poetic.
I think it is the best job in the universe. I receive many commendations for my work.
The efficiency of your hydraulic landscaping is quite elegant.
Wesley, what is our current orbital cycle rotation?
Let me check. Data, we are currently projecting the eccentricity of the planet's orbit to be quite small, and its orbit is nearly circular, less than 0.02.
Thank you, Wesley. Yes, Dr. Crusher?
Data, I am picking up some erratic brainwave readings from Captain Picard.
Anything else, Doctor?
Actually, yes.
Data, this is Guinan.
Yes, Guinan. Are you in 10 forward?
No, Data. I had a premonition and had to talk to Dr. Crusher.
About Captain Picard?
Yes, and something that could affect our entire crew and a crew in the future. On board another Federation starship named Voyager.
Data, my readings are getting stronger from the planet, and Captain Picard's biometrics are all over the chart.
Doctor, do you think it's serious enough to beam the entire crew back to the Enterprise?
Monroar, I'm getting very strange readings on my tricorder.
I'm disturbed by erratic power surges in several of the servo mechanisms that control the hydraulic probes.
Could it be the increased conductivity caused by the high saline content in these rock formations?
That was my first thought, but the factors do not support that conclusion. Are you seeing everything that you want?
What you're doing here is miraculous.
What we're doing here is working a difficult and demanding timetable, and there will be no miracle unless we get the hydraulic probes back online. We are set to step up to full conversion immediately.
Monroar, that does sound quite interesting. Tell me more.
Here we have something which may be of interest to you, a vegetation graph. It is really the key center for successful terraforming.
Incredible. It's planned month by month, decade by decade.
Every single thing is specific and exact. You humans might see grand romantic concepts. I see unyielding rock under an ocean of sand.
Commander!
What is it, Deanna?
Monrar's engineer. He's in trouble.
Worf, can you open the door?
It's jammed.
First officer's log, stardate 41464.3. What began as a routine visit to a terraforming site has turned into something far more serious. The hydraulics engineer has been fatally injured by a laser drill, which appears to have malfunctioned. The drill went right through his eye, all the way through his skull. Died instantly.
Data, you summoned me to the bridge. May I ask why?
Doctor, we are having trouble beaming the crew from inside the planet's core. We might have to use some more drastic measures.
Data, this is Guinan in 10 forward.
Yes, Guinan.
Data, something is wrong, very wrong, with our away team down on the planet.
What do you mean?
Something tells me they are going away on a very long voyage.
Guinan, I am sure they are fine. We are just out of communications range with them, for now at least.
Data, I wish you were right. I wish you were right.
Daily log, emergency medical hologram, better known as the Doctor. Stardate 54890.7. Captain Janeway and I are on board the Delta Flyer. I am the chief pilot. Captain Janeway is asleep. EMH signing off. Oh, Captain, computer, pause music. I didn't wake you, did I?
Oh, that's all right, Doctor. 15 minutes of sleep is really all I need. Coffee, black. Maybe you should pay a little more attention to flying and a little less to singing. Verde, I believe, correct?
Yes, Captain, you are correct. And also, dear Captain, as a hologram, I can handle a variety of tasks at once. In addition to piloting the Delta Flyer, I'm writing a paper on the physiological stresses of long-duration spaceflight and taking holo images of this Matura-class nebula.
With a hologram on board, who needs a crew?
I'd never admit this to anyone else, but there was a time when I would have given anything to be flesh and blood. But I've come to realize that being a hologram is far superior.
Really?
No offense. I've always enjoyed the company of organics. In fact, I'm delighted you were able to attend this medical symposium with me. It's been a pleasure spending time with you. Actually, I was hoping we might do this sort of thing more often. We're passing through a subspace eddy.
It could be the wake of another ship.
No, there's nothing on the sensors. It's probably just a gravimetric shear from the nebula.
Maybe I should take the controls.
Sit down and relax, Captain, please. You've got a hologram at the helm.
Chakotay to engineering. B'Elanna, is everything all right?
Yes, Commander. We just had to reroute one of the warp engines to another subarray.
That's good to hear, B'Elanna. Chakotay out.
Those plasma surges have to be coming from one of these relays. Try aligning the Tyria manifolds.
Mr. Kim, all readings are normal. Or should I say, Acting Captain Kim.
Thank you, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok. Anything else on your readings, 7 of 9?
Ensign Kim, there's some kind of pulse being directed at our transceiver array. It's coming from the Delta Flyer.
Hail them.
No response.
Looks like they've encoded the pulse with a special AlphaCom signal. On, viewer. Captain, we can barely see you. Lots of distortion.
Sorry about the image, Ensign. Our comm system's been damaged. The only way I could send you a signal was through the main deflector.
Are you and the Doctor all right?
We're fine. Tell Commander Chakotay to meet me in my ready room as soon as we've docked. Janeway out.
Catherine, Harry tells me the flyer took some damage.
That's an understatement. We almost didn't make it back in one piece. They're called the Recall. Their technology is decades ahead of ours. Transphasic warp drive, multispectral cloaking systems. They could destroy this ship before our sensors even knew they were there.
They sound like people we should avoid.
I wish that were possible. They control thousands of parsecs from here to the edge of the Beta Quadrant. They're ecological extremists. They believe conventional warp engines damage subspace, so they've outlawed warp travel throughout their territory.
I guess that gives a whole new meaning to being green for ecology's sake. Anyway, Captain, we should reverse course and find a way around.
That's the problem. We've already been in their space for 3 weeks without knowing it. Hold on a minute. We need Tuvok in here and also 7 of 9. I just sent both of them a coded message with the details, and they're on their way in. Our new hosts have ways of hacking into our system without us even knowing it.
You'd think we were politicians running for head of state or head of federation.
Captain, welcome back. Safe and sound.
Thank you, Tuvok. 7 of 9, everything under control here?
Yes, Captain.
Now, bringing everyone up to speed. Chakotay, you were saying?
Captain, you'd think the recall would mark their borders a little more clearly.
Indeed.
Species 8476, the recall. The Borg tried to assimilate them many years ago, but could not. They were too cunning. They implanted a special Delta 6 level virus into one of our cubes and nearly destroyed the Queen and her closest minions.
As punishment, their law demands that our ship be dismantled.
Obviously, we're not going to let that happen.
I spent hours explaining our situation to their Supreme Archon, a thoroughly unpleasant man. I convinced him to spare Voyager, but at a price. We're going to rendezvous with their armada and surrender our warp core at a Class M planet where they've agreed to let us settle.
Settle?
I didn't make this decision lightly, Chakotay.
Captain, Mr. Kim informed me of your current situation. I think I can be of great help.
How so, Neelix?
Captain, I've dealt with the recall before, and I know what their weak points are.
Neelix, you will be of immense help. Please report to my ready room.
Captain, I'm right outside your ready room.
Enter, Neelix. Mr. Kim, you too.
Captain, the recall are a crazy species who have no good side to them at all. But their biggest weakness is more engine power for their spacecrafts. Big and small. It makes no difference.
Go on, Neelix. I want to hear more.
Captain, there's a hypothetical scenario that Mr. Kim and I have been chatting about.
Mr. Kim, should I even ask if you think this will sound like a crazy idea to me?
Captain, when Neelix posed this hypothetical, I must admit that at first I did think he had been around some of that awful cabbage and jasper root soup he's been cooking for the last 3 days.
But?
But, Commander Chakotay, It made more and more sense to me as he painted the whole picture.
Okay, Neelix. As Lieutenant Paris likes to say, lay it on me.
Well, Captain, B'Elanna says that if we eject the core, it could then be towed safely to Warp 2. And then, to make sure we don't have any kind of containment breach, we could configure the tractor emitters to generate a resonance pulse. That should stabilize the field.
B'Elanna, can you make those modifications to the Delta Flyer's tractor emitters?
I believe so, Captain.
How long would it take?
A few hours.
Get started now.
I thought this was a hypothetical scenario.
We should be prepared just in case.
In case of what?
Let me know as soon as you're finished. Neelix, come with me.
Yes, Captain.
Catherine, B'Elanna tells me you ordered some modifications to the Flyer.
That's right.
Maybe I misunderstood. I thought the plan was to hand over the core when we reached the planet. Are we taking it somewhere else?
I heard you the first time.
Captain?
You've already made your concerns clear, Commander, but there's been a slight change of plans.
Were you going to tell me? Catherine, what's going on?
I don't feel well. I've got a headache. I'm going to my quarters, and I'd prefer not to be disturbed. You have the bridge. And tell Neelix to stop by my quarters in about an hour.
Yes, Captain. Chakotay to the doctor.
Go ahead, Commander.
Report to sickbay immediately. Something wrong with the turbo lifts, Doctor?
You did say immediately. How can I help you?
I'm concerned about the captain. She doesn't seem to be feeling well.
What's wrong?
I'm not sure. She went to her quarters with a headache.
I'll bring her an analgesic.
I was wondering if this could be related to your encounter with the aliens.
You think they harmed her?
You tell me. What did they do to her?
I'm not sure exactly. The aliens took my program offline as soon as they boarded the Flyer. The captain reactivated me a few hours later and told me she'd been interrogated. Naturally, I examined her to make sure she was all right.
Did you find anything unusual?
I suppose I'm violating doctor-patient confidentiality by telling you this, but she was fine.
Captain, you wanted to see me?
Yes, Neelix. We need to put Delta Gamma 682 into action now, just like we talked about.
Yes, Captain, right away.
I just sent 7 of 9 a message through her remaining Borg implant to meet us in Holodeck 2.
How will we get there and not be seen by anyone?
She will engage point-to-point transfer and make sure the beaming coaxial linkages are offline so they can't be traced.
Quite brilliant, Captain. Almost like hacking, but in reverse.
Welcome, Captain. Neelix.
Well done, Seven. So, where are they?
Catherine! James T. Kirk, right here.
at your Starfleet service.
And not to be outdone, Jean-Luc Picard, reporting for duty, Captain Janeway.
A fascinating display of deception, Captain Janeway, especially faking the headache.
Mr. Spock, our team of captains, along with Seven of Nine and Neelix, would not be complete without your logical Vulcan mind.
Thank you, Catherine.
So I'm hoping that someone will now tell me exactly what Delta Gamma 682 means so we can get on with our story.
I'm afraid, Neelix, that our time is about to expire, so we must end this holodeck experience. Live long and prosper.
This has been Star Trek to the Third Power on the WGTD Radio Theater. Our stars from the 91.1 players were Mike Bovito, Steve Brown, Rene Bouchel, Siegfried Christoph, Arthur Dexter, Vicky Dumais, Alexa Eves, Todd Eves, Brett Hodek, Gary Lean, Susan Lean, Jim McClure, Andrew Potter, Janelle Powers, Larry Rowe, Anne-Marie Schmid, Cameron Spencer, and Kathy Zolke. Our original script today was written by Steve Brown and Michael Ulstrup. Today's broadcast was directed by Steve Brown, and Barb Tyler was associate director. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from the Kenosha law firm of Aaliyah, Dumais, and McTernan, and the not-for-profit Brown Ulstrup Performing Arts Foundation, located in Salem Lakes, Wisconsin. Our broadcast today is dedicated to the memory of the stars from all of the Star Trek television series. Be sure to join us on June 24th at 11:15 a.m. when we feature two great television series starring Mary Tyler Moore, The Dick Van Dyke Show, and The Mary Tyler Moore Show. For the WGTD Radio Theater and the 91.1 players, I'm Rene Bouchel, thanking you for listening to Star Trek to the Third Power.
Space, the final frontier. These are the continuing voyages of the starship Enterprise. Her ongoing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
You're listening to WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, your gateway to public radio.